You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show, and happy Thanksgiving Boxing Day. Is that a thing in the U.S.?
Well, cleaning up afterwards, but that's for sure. Yeah, we hosted Thanksgiving here, and like as we discussed off air, you know, the host has little time to enjoy it, and now it's cleanup time. But it was a lot of fun.
Is it cleanup time in the markets?
Well, the market is responding beautifully to the. It's not my creation. It's that of an old friend who passed away years ago, the famous Yale Hirsch back in the 1970s, who created the term the turkey shoot, which is a seasonal tendency for a rally just the day before and or the day after, or certainly around the U.S. Thanksgiving time. So we're getting that with spades the last couple of days. So I'm proud of that, since we called that and we made some trades based on that theory. The question is, what will happen? You know, this is holiday week. Most of the professionals aren't even in town this week. They're out. They take the week off, and it's usually retail trading that drives the markets up during this time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens come early next week into early December. You know, what the big players have in mind. But you know, I'm trying to keep in mind that my overall forecast model for the year was positive, and though there are risks along the way for a shakeout, and we just saw one, there's certainly, you know, always that risk that we could still get a correction. We're way overdue for that. You know, big names like NVIDIA came in, and even Google had a big move to the upside and then started to back off. So, you know, it's still a lot of volatility out there, but I guess my bias is still overall bullish, but you got to know where your stops are, because there are market is still way overdone, and you know, it does have that you know, corrective risk out there, but you got to wait for the trigger. You got to wait for the signal to come in and act accordingly. But short term, the market's doing what it's supposed to do, at least during this Thanksgiving week.
Does the market react differently around the U.S. Thanksgiving period than it usually does?
Well, it's supposed to rally, and nothing's 100%. I'm sure we went back and looked at every U.S. Thanksgiving, just like we can go back and look at every Santa Claus rally time frame. Nothing is 100%, but there's a seasonal tendency for it. So, you know, and I guess a political aspect as well. There's a lot of breath holding here about what the Federal Reserve is going to do in early December at their next meeting, and the percentages and probabilities have gone way up. I think around 70 or 80% now that there's going to be a Fed rate cut after all, even though it had dropped off a couple of weeks ago and there was less optimism for that. So that's sort of part and parcel to what's going on as well. You know, anticipation of lower rates, the seasonal tendency this time of year, and so forth. So you know, the markets tend to do better overall, you know, in the Thanksgiving, Christmas time frame. I mean, there are exceptions, but that's sort of the general seasonal pattern. So we seem to be fulfilling that. But, you know, we're traders, and, you know, we're looking for the bastions of strength, the single opportunities that are unfolding day to day. And today you may or may not notice, but gold's on the move, and silver in particular broke out to new highs. So that's been a big story for traders, too.
Is gold at a new high?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. Silver is. Silver okay. broke out. Gold is, I think, you know, a couple hundred dollars away, getting pretty close. But silver has outperformed gold. Silver stocks are surging. Silver looks like it may get to the $59-$60 level. It's getting close now. I think it's around $57 or so. And gold that high was in the 4,400 level, and the gold is still under 4,300, I believe. So it's getting close, but we're definitely getting a pop in those two metals here. It's funny because many traders thought we were going to get a bigger correction. You know, the market always fools the majority. You know, maybe we'll go to new all-time highs a second time and then have a correction again, versus happening before this current surge, as everyone was anticipating. So the trend is your friend, I guess, at the moment.
Are people more optimistic this time of year just because they're looking forward to family, friends, maybe gifts at Christmas?
I would think so. Hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a happier time of year, you know, with the lights out, the Christmas lights out, and all the celebrations and parties. I would definitely think so.
Hanukkah's in there.
Yeah, Hanukkah coming up as well. You know, of course, you know, you look back to way back in the 1940s, December 7th, 1941, during the Pearl Harbor attack. I mean, you can look back and say whether there could be, you know, party busters, so to speak, you know, events that could trigger something sudden that would reverse sentiment the other way. But generally, this time of year is positive, sure.
The U.S. Navy is gathering a quarter of its fleet, or 20% of it, off the coast of Venezuela. Are they going to invade?
You know, your guess is as good as mine. If they're going to do it, I hope they're better prepared than during the Castro-Cuban invasion way back in the 1960s, where it was a failure. I don't think the U.S. was as directly involved then as it is now in Venezuela. But I hope if they're going to pull it off, they go in with an objective to win, you know, and bring in the resources to make it happen, if that's what they're going to do. So I have no real comment about it. You know, I'm as surprised or amazed about the whole event at all. I mean, basically, I didn't realize that Venezuela was as important a target for the U.S., you know, as compared to other, you know, critical areas around the world. But apparently Donald Trump feels that's the case. So, you know, it could be, you know, more stuff that we're aware that's going on. You know what I mean? You know, maybe we really need to take care of Venezuela the way we were supposed to have taken care of Cuba, but never did.
Well, Joseph Schachter, publisher of the Schachter Energy Report, who will be on This Week in Money this Saturday, I've already interviewed him, and he has a theory about why the U.S. will invade Venezuela. It's the world's largest producer of, or has the world's largest reserves of heavy crude, which is necessary for the production of diesel and other chemical processes. And so you take a look at past U.S. invasions, Iraq, Kuwait, they had a lot of oil, too.
It makes sense if, you know, Joseph knows what he's talking about. You know, I assume that's his specialty. So if that's the case, you know, it's like the rare earth situation that we're debating China over. I mean, you know, the fight for, you know, resources and territory and, you know, critical needs, you know, could be agricultural too, you know, have caused many wars over the centuries, you know, so that could be the case. And it's funny because I covered my short in my crude oil ETF. It looked like crude oil was setting up for a little pop here to the upside. So it's starting to move a little bit. Maybe it's tied to this Venezuela situation. So I got out of my short on crude. At the same time, natural gas is moving again, just a bit, not quite yet, but potentially near a little breakout point. So we're definitely getting a little play in the energy sector here, along with the precious metals today.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, you said they were thinking there was a 75-80% chance of a cut to the Fed rate, but is that a good sign for the economy when the Fed is bringing down the cost of money?
Yes, pretty much so. It's a psychological factor more than anything else. You know, I focus more on what the Treasury bond market is doing, because that's the sort of tail wagging the dog effect. And what's happening with the long rates is really more important, because that really affects mortgages and, you know, real estate and so forth. So, you know, the Treasury bonds were rallying the last 3 or 4 days. Today they're down a little bit. You really want to see the bond market really take off too. So whether the action on the part of Fed will affect the Treasury bonds, it's usually the other way around, but we just have to wait and see in early December when the Fed makes its move. But probabilities favor it in terms of the sentiment readings that are coming in, and there's probably some political pressure as well. You know, there's so many variables here. You know, we could spend a lot of time talking about it. I mean, is the Fed increasing or decreasing money supply? Are they doing more quantitative easing versus tightening? There's hints that they're going to be doing more quantitative easing, which is good. I don't know if the bond market will like that as much. The other issue sort of hanging out there, and this sort of pertains to the overall stock market as well as the bond market, we discussed this last week, is what's going on in the Japanese market. Interest rates have been ticking up there. You know, for decades, Japan kept interest rates near zero, and it became the basis for what's known as carry trade, where institutions and others would borrow money in cheap Japanese you know, the cheap Japanese debt, because it was, like I say, near 0% interest, and then use that money to invest in all kinds of projects, including stocks around the world. So as rates go up in Japan, I didn't check today exactly what's happening, but they had been inching up. This is a potential negative, you know, for both the stock market, the bond market, what the Fed does or doesn't do, and so forth. So it should be interesting how that plays out in the next few weeks. So it could be a big negative, or maybe just a little pop, and it doesn't mean anything. So we'll just have to watch it, but it is something we're monitoring. But as far as the Fed itself, the lowering of rates in December is, again, more of a psychological boost. But we'll have to wait and see how the markets respond and how the stock market responds to it, how the bond market responds, what's happening in Japan. There's a lot of variables here, and you know, just lowering the rates doesn't change whether there's an inflationary issue, whether there's any geopolitical issues out there. It doesn't change the fact that the stock market is at historic highs and is getting to really overbought and has been in overbought territory. So, you know, come 2026, things could possibly change more to the negative. We'll just see how it all plays out. You know, we take it, you know, a day at a time here, but I'm trying to stay optimistic short term because of the seasonality patterns, as we just discussed.
Is it true what happens in the first week of the year is a predictor of what the whole year is going to be like?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my big tools, and again, inspired by Yale Hirsch. It's called the January Barometer. And it actually works in two different ways. There's the January barometer that measures the close of the S&P at the end of December versus the close at the end of January. That 30-day period, is it net up or net down? That's also part of the January barometer, but is also what is called the early warning system, which is the first 5 days of January. So how the market trades in the first 5 days sometimes is a leading indicator, believe it or not, the entire year. But you generally want to wait for the 30-day reading coming at the end of January. So, yep, it's over. Nothing's 100%, but, you know, I can't give you a statistic, but it's probably in the 60-70% range of reliability. It's up there. It's something that is watched. And, you know, there's a political reason for it, having to do with Congress and when it convenes in January versus what it used to convene, which I don't think was in January. So I think there's some political connection why that January barometer even works. I have to pull out all the details on it, but it goes back to U.S. history a little bit about what congressional action was taken that changes the beginning of new sessions in Congress. So, but just looking at the indicator itself, at least in recent years, it does show some, you know, pretty good reliability.
Is there a divergence between market and investor sentiment right now and consumer sentiment in the U.S.?
Good question. I have to double check to see what the Michigan sentiment readings were at the last, you know, last posting versus the previous posting. You know, my gut feeling is consumer sentiment, you know, hasn't been as positive as the stock market has been displaying. But then again, they're saying they're showing record Black Friday sales today. the day after Thanksgiving across the U.S. and on the internet. So that could be an offsetting positive to any negatives that came in possibly with that Michigan reading. There's so many polls out there and you don't know what to rely on. Is the average person feel optimistic or negative? And there seems to be more of a negative response coming from surveys. You know, the feeling is that costs are higher, many are unemployed, a fear of what AI is going to do to their jobs or future jobs. So, the market's high and maybe there's a lot of buying here on Black Friday, but my sense is the average person on the street doesn't feel the optimism or feel the optimism or sense the optimism that you're seeing in the stock market and elsewhere. The real estate market's been tough. It's tough for young people to buy houses because of the high interest rates and the very high expense of home purchase, which is at the present, bid on new families. So, there's a clear divergence, I feel, from what's happening on Main Street versus what's happening on Wall Street. And we'll see how that all plays out. But, healthcare has been another issue, too, the cost of healthcare for many people. So, again, I get the sense, that the average person isn't as optimistic as, say, someone, who's in the stock market and is long, high-tech stocks or others that are roaring. So that's sort of the best input I can give you at the moment.
Anything going on in the uranium market?
Uranium's been pulling back. We had a correction. We had a big move up in the last few weeks, and we've been in a little pullback. There's been more strength in the lithium market, which has taken off a lot stronger than as the uranium market's been coming down. The lithium market's been going up. Not bearish on uranium, but I think the consensus feeling was that we got ahead of ourselves in terms of the nuclear projects that are out there, in terms of the timing when they'll actually be completed, and that possibly is helping natural gas here as an alternate energy source in the meantime, as we've discussed this before, since it's going to take time to get the nuclear facilities up and running, in some cases several years. So the nuclear stocks sort of started pulling back here when I guess the real light bulb went off that, gee, maybe we got ahead of ourselves here a little bit in terms of pricing, and we're pricing in future performance, which could be several years or a couple years away. So some of them have backed off from their highs. So if you look at a big stock like Cameco, which is, I guess, your big uranium stock, I mean, the stock was up at 110 and it's all the way down to 75. It's bounced back to here a little bit, but I guess that's part and parcel to this realization. Hey, well, folks, whoa, we got way ahead of ourselves here. Let's think about it a little bit.
Is this a buying opportunity yet for Cameco?
Long term, I guess. Yeah, it's had a nice little correction. You got a 25% correction in the stock. It's coming off a little trading bottom here, but remember now it's a $20-$30 stock that went up to 110, and it had a big move here this past year. So this could be more of a trading opportunity than the beginning of another move back to that 110 high. It may just be a trade, and it may languish for a while before it breaks out to that level again. My gut feeling is, we got overdone in the uranium sector. I mean, it is running for many months, very strong, and, it's time for a rest.
Geocosmically, anything going on there?
Well, there was a big solar, surge or solar flare here the other day. A lot of people took pictures of it. They said the thing was shooting up so high, it was like the height of the entire planet Earth or something, shooting up, or multiple times of the planet Earth shooting up. But it dissipated and not much going on there. They say the solar wind that was setting toward the Earth dissipated, so that's calmed down. And the only thing coming up, the other thing to keep in mind is here we were in a Mercury retrograde period from November 9th, and it ends on the 29th, which is tomorrow. So sometimes that causes or is coincident with volatility in the markets, and that's coming to an end this weekend. So those who track that pattern say some of the choppiness that we've seen back and forth might be over here by the weekend. Doesn't mean market's going to go up big or down big. It just means some of the day-to-day volatility might settle down a little bit. And I think it's December 5th. We have the next full moon coming up. So, and then beyond that, we've got the winter solstice on December 21st, 22nd. And you know how I feel about the seasonal patterns. You know, sometimes they're coincident with changes of directions in the markets. Some of the classic times are like during March and so forth, like we saw back on the vernal equinox back at the COVID low in 2020. So I always watch the winter solstice, the vernal equinox, the summer solstice, and the autumnal equinox, and just to see if there's other patterns in the market that might indicate that we can get some change of direction. But, you know, I think the common wisdom here is, you know, money managers, and we're getting off the geocosmic here, but, you know, I think as a general rule, most of the money managers are paid on performance. And I think many of them are saying, look, we made a lot of money this year. Let's ring the register and let's reevaluate come 2026. So, you know, though the market may stay strong here with the seasonal pattern, I would think net, much of the big money will be looking to take profits and reevaluate come next year, mainly because, again, they're compensated for the most part based on performance and wire chance, you know, a market sell-off. An unexpected sell-off, for example, in December, and to lose those profits. So, good time to hang your hat up a little bit. You know, if you made money, you know, take your profits. If you're a trader, in particular, if you're a trader, and let's see what unfolds here come the new year.
Mark, always fun chatting with you.
My pleasure, too. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.